312-521-8600. Alan, you're on the blower.
Yeah, that line you just did is an old Roseanne line.
It is?
She's been doing it for a long time. And this last year on Two and a Half Men, Chuck Lorre, who used to write for the old Roseanne show, used it in one of the Two and a Half Men scripts and had Ashton Kutcher saying it. And Roseanne blasted him for stealing her material. So is this big feud going on? But, yeah, she's been using that for easily 12 or 14 years, using that line. So she's not writing anything new.
Ashton Kutcher used a line that, as I get older...
Two and a Half Men, yeah. Things that are supposed to be dry or wet and things that are supposed to be wet or dry.
It doesn't work on a guy of his age and on a guy.
No, it really didn't. It really didn't work. So.
All right, well, I hadn't heard it before, and maybe all the material that I'm going to play here from last night is old material, but I still laughed.
You know, a friend of mine was actually an extra on the old Roseanne show. He was a day player and stood behind her in line at the IRS. He said he was behind her for about 6 hours. She didn't say a word to him until a writer walked up. She chewed out the writer, and he kind of mumbled behind her, "Boy, you can't get good help these days." He said she whirled around, spit in his face, "If I want the opinion of a day player, I'll ask for it. Shut the hell up."
Wow.
Turned back around, and he said the last time he was ever on that show. So,
ouch.
Yeah, so see, all that reputation she had, I think she earned it.
Okay. Well, again, all I want to do is play this, and maybe we'll get some chuckles on a Friday.
All right, cool.
Thank you.
She doesn't do any Clinton jokes in here, does she?
No.
Might get a sense of how old the material is.
No, didn't hear anything that dated, okay. But you decide. Here she is from last night.
Hey, hi. What a privilege it is for you to have me here this evening, ladies and gentlemen. I really mean that. I mean that. A lot of people don't know this about me, but I have 5 children. I used to be kind of pro-life, and kids are a big pain in the ass, aren't they, ladies and gentlemen? Asking you questions that you have no answer for. Why is the sky blue? Where did we come from? Who's our real father? I have no way of knowing. How do you answer? But I'm getting older, man. I'm getting real old. I don't know what I'm going to do. My body's changing. Everything's all screwy. Now I'm wet where I'm supposed to be dry and dry where I'm supposed to be wet. Like a lot of people in L.A., a lot of women, I went and got that vaginal rejuvenation thing. Have y'all had that? And now I've got a vajunior, so I'm excited, too, because I'm coming out with my own line of adult diapers, you know? Called You're in Luck. I think it'll be a big thing. But I don't know if a lot of you knew, but I ran for president of the United States. Did you know that? That was a fantastic experience, and I'll tell you why I did it, because I think it's time for a woman to be on top of this shit. Before bros. Are you kidding me? Anything a man can do, a woman can get another man to do even better. Am I right, ladies and gentlemen? I ran because I got a lot of solutions, you know, to the problems that plague our country and the world. I put a lot of thinking into these solutions. And one thing I would do, I would legalize marijuana. It's about time. You know, I got a lot of anxiety issues and stuff. It helps you with my anxiety. Like, I get very anxious when I think I might run out of pot, you know, and it's such a very... And then here's my solution to our economic crisis. I would give all the broke-ass people and the unemployed, I'd give them all $10,000 per week as a sort of a stimulus, you see. And then the rest of us will go out and invest in liquor stores, lottery tickets, and internet porn. You're welcome, America. You know, I ran for president against President Barack Obama, and I did criticize him for a lot of things. Like, specifically, I don't think it was right that he went over there and killed Osama bin Laden. I think that was too good for that son of a bitch. That's what I think. Shooting him in the face, too good for that son of a bitch. I think they should have made him marry Tom Arnold. I really do. But God bless America. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Still can't let that Tom Arnold thing go. That was 20 years ago, right?
And she used that as their kicker line,
yeah,
too. I mean, that's... Oh, yeah, at least 20 years ago.
That guy still has somewhat of a career. I saw him...
Still making movies?
Promoed on that Bear Grylls, takes people out, leaves them for dead in the woods. Why he was picked, yeah, I don't know, but there he was.
No, he still makes movies.
I think he made a fortune from that divorce. I think it was multiple millions of dollars, more than you can imagine.
Well, he was married to her when she was at the top of her game with that TV show, and he was toward the end, he was a producer.
He got production credit.
Oh, yeah. His name was on that. He used to write for the show and everything. So I think he did very well in that. And at that time, too, if you remember, they were so disgusted with each other that I think she just paid him off to get him out of her hair. You know what I mean? Like, okay, just.
Well, I heard, was I hearing the right number here? $40 to $50 million?
Wouldn't be surprised. That show was number one.
Can you imagine just marrying her and then hanging out? $50 million.
And he was just like a hanger-on comedian at the comedy clubs. That's where she met him.
Right. He wasn't that good of a comedian at all.
No. And then he made his mark with that True Lies movie with Schwarzenegger and Jamie Lee Curtis.
But that was 25 years ago,
yeah.
No Rick Kogan this week. He is on assignment or something. I'm having some drinks with some of the best authors in town at the William Goat.
I remember when Studs talked to Royko one time. I was sitting there, and it was a great moment.
Used to be a brothel on the west side.
I don't pay for drinks in any saloons in Chicago.
I remember I was out with Roger Ebert at O'Reilly's.
He liked a white Russian.
And I thought I could drink, but Roger in his day...
Roger was a mean drunk, though. Loved the guy, but he was a mean drunk.
What can you say? All right, we'll check in maybe next week with Rick. I think my sources tell me he was doing some time on other shows on the AM.
He was, he filled in for Bill Laff, I believe. He was with it was the Rick and Wendy show.
Can I get no exclusivity? Huh?
Yeah, remember Scott Stantis or Judas Stantis, as I refer to him
all
now?
All right, give it up.
No, I can't. I'll never get that. But he did. He went on WLS, didn't
he? Well, he did ask me, and what am I going to do? I don't pay the guy.
Right. But still, a little loyalty.
Yeah, where's that anymore?
Right here, my friend.
I got a text from somebody who
sitting
said
right across from you.
That Joe, when I went on vacation, she was all over the AM.
What do you mean?
That's what I mean.
She's calling other shows?
Yes.
Oh.
All right. What am I going to do? You don't pay me. What am I going to do? Be beholden to you?
We went to the pump room, and I was with Tom Dreesen, and he was telling me how him and Sinatra had been at the Sands Hotel. And, Don Rickles was running around with no pants.
On the Sunday show.
Sunday paper. No, he didn't do this. No, now it's on the town or at night or I don't know. You know, Hugh Hefner.
Slam poetry is
at the
Green Mill.
What does he always say that's in Latin that was in the front? Remember there's some phrase that used to be on the Playboy Club?
Right, a plaque when you walked in.
Like, don't come in if you don't want to.
Right, leave your pants at the door or something like that.
You know, it's funny. I was reading something about Hugh Hefner, and Chicago... Oh, it was Woody Allen. Woody Allen was in town to promote his new movie, and he was saying in this interview how when he would play Mr. Kelly's, they would go to Hugh Hefner's place afterwards, and boy, it sounds like in the late in the 60s, Chicago was really cool.
I mean, that's only 50 years ago.
But I mean,
but I was a little kid. But you're right about the Playboy Mansion was like, if you could go and just hang out in front of that place. This is as a 9-year-old boy, because it had such an aura.
Yeah.
On State Parkway, that was the orb. We had the Playboy Mansion, and everything was zigging and zagging.
There were these places like the Ambassador East and Mr. Kelly's. There were these.
Rush Street.
Yeah.
It was all happening.
Because Woody Allen said that this was so funny to hear him describe it, because clearly he's never been in Chicago for a long time. And he goes, I just remember Chicago being a great late-night city. And he goes, I would get done with my set at Mr. Kelly's around midnight. We'd go out. There was always restaurants open at 1 in the morning. And then at 2 or so, we would go to Hef's place till 4.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it just
made it illegal for him to move. Because he really gave us some.
Yeah.
Now, whether that would have stayed, I don't think so.
But
at least we could have had it until he really got out of it.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Another 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, it just sounds like this was, I mean, the way Woody Allen was describing it, he said he would come here. He said, I was in town one day, and I got done with my show. Warren Beatty was in town, so he called me and said, you got to stay at this new hotel.
Right, they'd go over to the pump room.
Yeah, I mean.
Hang and this and that. That's why they had all those pictures up of all these super famous people. And it seems like in the last 40 years.
No, it's not. It's like R. Kelly and Billy Deck.
We got nothing now.
I mean, what?
What happened?
I mean, it was sound.
Where's our street cred?
He made it sound like it was the coolest place on earth.
Well, that whole Rush Street, Division Street, once they sanitize these places, it doesn't have that ring-a-ding-ding. There's no, we're the Rat Pack's favorite place outside of Vegas. That was the case, but not anymore. Now it's as homogenized as you can imagine.
And I mean, I'm sure that, you know, the New York doesn't have the cool factor that it used to, like the Jazz, like, you know, on 52nd Street and that whole thing where Charlie Parker and Miles Davis were playing. But at the same time, you know, it still has something of a mystique, but I don't think we have that mystique anymore.
I haven't heard it, whatever it is. I
haven't seen it.
It doesn't,
well, to me,
doesn't
it died,
really have any traction.
It sounds like it died with the death of Sabrina.
It, when my nightclub went down.
Yeah.
That's the moment where I was trying to resurrect it in the mid to late 80s, and then it deflated.
Because that's what you were sort of going for, weren't you?
What, a ring-a-ding-ding?
Yeah, like that kind of a vibe.
It was a nice little club, yes.
Right, that's what I mean.
Nice wood. You got to have nice wood, and that attracts people. Nice bar. Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Hi, how you doing?
Want a Jaeger bomber?
Yeah. With a Red Bull chaser? Want to get that heart started at 2 in the morning?
But, man, I mean, and then even was even cool when that building said Playboy on it. You know, like, remember, the Playboy used to be on top of the Playboy building.
Yeah.
The sign.
On the Palmolive building.
Yeah. I mean, that made the skyline look hip.
Like we had a little dirty mind going a little bit. Now, where's our dirty mind?
Because
we don't have that. We need some. You got to have a little of that.
Because wasn't that show, the Playboys After Hours, the Hef show, wasn't that filmed here in Chicago?
Yeah.
And look at the celebrities that were there. It was just like a cool hang.
Yeah. All right.
Hey. What happened here?
All right. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, man. Now we just got Rick Hogan talking stories about Twin Anchors.
They got the greatest ribs. I remember seeing Sinatra there. He had gree-gree all over his mouth. Tom Dreesen wiped the gree-gree off with a $50 bill.
And then Louis Armstrong walked in.
Next, all you hear about is somebody moving out of the state every 10 minutes, says here on that text.
Yeah, we used to be ring-a-ding. One of the things, too, which I think became a huge factor, is once the jet plane became a very viable and commercially, you know,
so people could fly over us.
Yeah, because
the trains came through here.
Yeah.
That's why those celebrities all stopped, because
exactly.
They stopped here pulled the pants out of their crack for a while.
So they stayed here for a couple of days or a week
right,
or so because
after
they're
sitting
on their
the train for 4 hours,
yeah,
10 hours.
On their way to L.A. or New York. So they, because they used to always show these old pictures of, you know, of Richard Burton and Liz Taylor coming off the train. You know, Cary Grant. But once they can fly over us, we were gone.
No, Judy.
Yeah. And that's
gone.
What Hef
Done.
Basically did. He flew white. He took, that
he took
black,
off, too.
That black plane and just flew away.
That was, for those of you who haven't been here that long or didn't know about the Playboy mystique, it did have something.
Definitely.
Because it was, even today when I walk by that building, I think, wow, that had something.
I mean, that was where it was born.
And even Hefner and Playboy lost luster when he moved to California. You could just feel it deflate a bit, and it never had that kind of, oh, there's something dangerous here.
Because I think the mansion out there became so over the top. Here it was like it was a mansion,
because,
but it wasn't crazy.
Because it was in Chicago.
It
made it even dirtier.
Right.
It had because it's in Chicago.
Yeah.
Where it's very conservative, and to plop that in the middle of Chicago, in L.A.,
You already had that.
There are dozens of Playboy mansions.
Yeah, decadence was going all over the place.
Having it here, ooh, that's really scary and dirty.
You know, and then it was kind of over the top with all the zoos and all that, whereas here it was actually all self-contained in that house.
Yeah.
All that.
Yeah,
all
you just thought there's a round bed, there's a round pool, there's everything's round.
All the depravity was going on within those walls.
And the beauty of it was about, let me do the ciphering here. It was about a half mile, maybe, from the Cardinals' mansion. That's why it made it even crazier. Ooh, the Cardinals a half mile away, and all this is going on.
And I don't think we can ever go. I mean, you can't recreate that. It's got to happen. It happened naturally, and you can't bring it back. But man,
this is a year ago, but it says here. Condo from original Playboy Mansion, listed for $8 million.
Wow.
The condo inside there.
I thought he donated that to a college or like for dorms or something.
I think it was that, and then they gave it up.
Oh, really?
Okay. The 5 bedrooms, 5-plus bathrooms are decorated with a variety of high-end touches, including marble bathrooms, fireplaces, and ornate paneling in the bedrooms. A curving central staircase, multiple terraces, loads of light, and painstakingly restored plaster. So that's a year ago. I don't know if it's still on the market, but $7.85 million.
Because even when Oprah was here, she didn't really embrace the city.
She wasn't part of it.
No. I mean, Hef was a part of it. That magazine was written. It was published here. I mean, he sat around. That's where he did his work.
Okay, we got no gravitas. We have no dirty mind. That's what we need.
We need that. We do.
And you got to put it near the Cardinals mansion. That's what makes it even crazier. That was the beauty of it. It's like that strip club that's right next door to the convent in Stone Park. That's why it's all woo. You got the two extremes.
Yeah, but just reading this little thing from Woody Allen, it sounded like, wow, that must have been a really cool city to live in.
45 years ago. 312-521-8600, phone number and text number. Half of my regular callers have checked in, so they have been marked.
So who's on the
episode? When you said today you ran into Dr. Milt and he asked you if you're getting a lot of phone calls, and you said yes.
Well, I didn't want to.
Youngster, are you getting a lot of phone calls on the show?
Oh, yeah,
sure, a lot.
Same people. Same 7 people, but they're still calling with regularity.
As David Letterman said, here's a text. Shouldn't the Playboy building be on Wacker Drive? It should. It should have. They're all gone now. The offices and everything are gone.
Didn't they? Yeah,
there's no Playboy here. They went to New York.
He's still alive, right, Hef?
Yeah.
Boy, he's
crazy. Yeah, he's almost 90. He's Joe?
Hey, Gare.
Joe, what are these reports I'm hearing?
Well, I just wanted to report, Bush McGuire's also was big at that time in the 60s.
All that Rush Street, Division Street stuff all connected.
Oh, Oh, it was. And I remember Joe Pepitone opened at one bar. I think it was called Easy Street.
Joe Pepitone, I remember.
It was on Division east of State Street.
Seeing him leaning against his motorcycle, and I thought, that is the worst toupee I've ever seen.
Huge.
Yeah, because he opened that bar up for a while, I think, for about a year or so.
Joe, you weren't cheating on me when I was on vacation, were you?
What?
Calling other shows?
Yeah, he did call one, Bill. Immigration.
You know, you got to stay loyal, Joe. I mean, I set you up with a way to listen to this show. What has Bill Left given you?
Why didn't you have somebody fill in for you?
Because they don't want to do that on .fm. They just rerun old shows.
I see that on TV.
See what on TV?
Wow, reruns.
Joe's getting an attitude.
Oh, man. I get her set up. I bring her down for the broadcast. Bill Left hasn't done diddly squat for you. And, oh, hi, Bill. These Mexicans need to stay in Mexico. What's that?
Well, that's a sore subject with me.
I know it is. But you got to stay loyal, babe.
Well, you bet. If you bring up immigration, I'd be out with you for an hour.
All right. I'm not going to do immigration for an hour. really?
Not the illegal stuff. I'm not for that.
And I know all that, but that's not something I want to get into.
I know.
It doesn't settle anything and makes people just want to drive into a wall if they're listening.
Oh, you're right.
But you got to stay loyal. That's my deal with you.
I know it is.
All right? I'm on vacation. Just turn everything off if that's the thing.
For 2 weeks.
Yeah, I won't have 2 weeks in a while, but...
Yeah, I know. That was a long time.
Yes, it was. But I'm back, and you got to stay loyal.
Yeah, did your daughter go to college this year?
No, she's still in high school.
Oh, she's still in high school?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought maybe she's entering college.
No, not yet.
And that's why you were taking off, which is, what people do when the kids go to college.
Yeah,
know?
Well, I will have to do that next year.
Yeah, next year?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, that's a big time.
It is.
Yeah, well, I still have one grandchild in college and one out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, one graduate from Dominican, and he's going with criminal law, and the other one, computer programming, he's going into his second year at Dominican.
You have a relationship with your grandkids, I hope.
No.
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 But you know what they're doing.
Yes, because they invite me to the graduations and stuff.
Well, that's interesting. They invite you to that, but then there's no communication.
No.
That's wrong.
No.
Wrong, wrong, wrong.
I've been through that, done that, and,
Yeah.
You know what I saw the last 2 days? Rockford Files had Lauren Bacall on. It was the strangest thing seeing both of them on the TV together.
Right, and both of them just dying in the last few months.
Just dying. Not only that, I think they were the same age, 86.
A few weeks, I should say, a few months. They both just died.
Yeah.
They both were 86 when they died.
I think
she was 89.
She was 86.
89.
Oh, he was 89?
She was 89.
Oh, she was 89. I thought she was 86. But still, they look good together. It was a good show, but...
Yeah. All right.
It's a crying shame we're losing all the best ones. I don't know any of the new ones at all.
Well, Joe, I mean, we're all heading that way at some point.
What did Richard Lewis say?
Yeah, if you're in your 60s, you're on borrowed time, according to my friend Richard Lewis.
Well, I'm still, as far as I'm concerned, I felt like I'm still at Bush McGuire's.
Okay, I think you are in certain ways.
Yeah, well.
Now, here's the thing. Just stay loyal, that's all I ask.
I am on 3 o'clock, I put you on right away.
Even when I'm on vacation.
Okay.
I don't want to have you sloppy seconding around with that AM thing. Right.
Immigration, schmimmigration.
Yeah.
What time does Johnny B come on in the morning?
He's on from 6 to 9.
Oh, he's on at 6 because, Steve Cochran gets on my nerves.
There we go.
Again, you shouldn't be associating with that.
Well, in the morning at 5.
I'm sorry, but I gotta ask, of all people... I had a guy go over and set you up with a phone and speakers and stuff. I got to have something out of you that's loyal.
You do. You get me to call you, see how you are, see how your family is.
I know, but I just, when I get texts, because people, and I don't know why they're listening that too.
How do they know?
And that's why I asked on the reply, why are you listening? But I got to have somebody police something.
Well, I like everything you do on the radio.
All right. I'm going to ask for your loyalty.
I will.
Thank you. Have a good weekend, Joe.
Okay.
All right.
You too, Gary.
All right.
The whole group. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You brought up saloons, and guess who called in?
Yeah.
I remember Butch McGuire's.
Amy.
Hi, Gary. I am such a loyal listener. I'm one of your regular callers, kind of.
Okay.
I was the one that was the first caller, the stream, but then it wasn't really because you were on the radio. And then I called in because I had the thin waist that freaked you out. But anyway.
My black pack.
You were talking about bunnies, and I was a Playboy bunny in the 80s. And I think it was still very elite. I still was very, you know, you felt very special. I was treated very special. There weren't any gentlemen clubs or the strip things. You know, it was really pretty much that was it if you wanted to have a naughty night out. I worked 919 North Michigan, which was primarily you're a waitress, a glorified waitress. Sometimes I'd have to do the stage and sometimes the door. Now, why I think it went down a little bit in the 80s was because, you know, you'd have to have a card to get in. And like a gold card was so much and a platinum, I forget. But then at the end of the night when I'd be the door bunny, there'd be like a bunch of drunk sailors. They'd all chip in, get a low card, like a silver card.
Okay, when we switched over there, we can put something on Mars, but when we switch from, or when they switch from the AM to baseball,
right.
Callers go, everything goes. Resets. Gary Meyer at 312-521-8600. All right, Amy, you were wrapping up your Playboy playmate era
in
the 80s.
Well, no, I wasn't a playmate. Wait, there's
you're
a
waitress.
I was a bunny. I wasn't a playmate.
Oh, I'm sorry, a bunny.
I was a bunny.
That could have been a playmate, right? I mean, that's how they chose
them. I was asked, but I didn't want my dad to see me. You know, I was in my early 20s, you know.
But weren't you in a skimpy costume with sailors drooling over you anyway?
Yeah, but I had they could drool, but they couldn't touch.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had one lady pull my tail off and she was escorted out. I mean, I had a guy, kind of like a bouncer type guy, always around me.
All right.
So it was
an overall pleasant experience.
It was very nice. The people were excellent. But I think, you know, in the 60s, it was cooler by the time I was one. It was really special, but it was kind of getting like a little bit, you know.
Oh, yeah. By the late 70s, the luster was off. But we could have got at least another decade out of H squared. Here's what I remember when I was downtown. He had a stretch Mercedes limousine with tinted windows, and it looked like, wow, that's all part of it.
We used to throw our bras at it.
You threw your bras at it?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, in our dressing room, we had a huge picture of him, like his face. And, like, no offense, but isn't that kind of weird?
In your dressing room, his face?
Yeah. It was creepy. So we used to throw things.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right. No, I'm done. Amy, thank you. Have a great weekend.
Okay, you too.
Thank you. Sasha.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Good.
Amy seems like she's a little bit of a slut there. I'm just going to throw that out there.
That Amy? Wow.
A little bit. A little bit of a slut.
Oh,
so anyway, you guys were talking about Roseanne Barr and Tom Arnold and how Tom Arnold got $50 million from that divorce.
Is that a number that I'm close to, or was I just pulling that out of my keister?
I think you're right, but he still had to pork Roseanne Barr. I think he was underpaid.
Okay, so, here we go. Now we're getting into some nightclubby kind of conversation. That guy from... Hey, Taxi, hang on. Taxi, do you call other radio shows?
No, I do not.
Okay.
Well, I do WGN, but I will say it's only when Mick D is on in the middle of the night, and sometimes in a blue moon, Patty, only because her father used to be a cab driver.
All right. Jeez. I can't get out of my 18 steady callers. I can't get any loyalty.
Well, I mean, Bill and Wendy are dead. I mean, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know.
What's his name, you know, that was on Full House?
Stamos?
No, the comedian.
Bob Saget?
Bob Saget. I remember when he got divorced, his wife got half of his money. It was $50 million. He made that much money in Full House at America's Funniest Videos. Yeah. Bob Saget. $100 million. What a great country.
Yeah, no kidding. Man.
Just think if he was funny.
Imagine. Bob, what do you got?
No, I just calling to say that I haven't been cheating with Bill and Wendy. I mean, you know, come on now, your nemesis on the other side, and I don't know, I can't stand Wendy.
All right,
she drives
well, that,
me up three.
That's not the text I got. It says that you call Waddle and Company or Waddle and Sylvie, whoever they are. I don't know. Maybe these,
well,
these
I
texts
call,
are from
start... time to time when you were still with WGN. I called Dave Kaplan's show because I want to say I played Little League baseball with Dave Kaplan. Dave Kaplan's father was my first Little League coach, and we grew up in Skokie together. So that was the reason why I call him. We're old childhood buddies.
All right, I'm sure that these texters are just kind of starting trouble for the hell of it.
Yeah, they're just trying to raise a few feathers.
Sure. But, all right, Taxi.
You guys have a great weekend. Enjoy the great weather here.
I will. Thank you. Dave.
Hey, Terry, how's it going?
Good.
More loyalty, here you go. I finally broke down and got a smartphone that I had to pay full price for just so I could continue listening to you because I live in Wisconsin.
Well, thank you.
No problem. Anyway, real quick, that story about that kid who got killed by the cop in Missouri?
Yes.
Suspected of strong-arm robbery and stealing a $50 box of cigars?
Right.
Where was that box of cigars when he was killed?
That
was only a couple of minutes earlier.
There
How
are
do you deal with it?
Reports. Well, the way it's playing out now, the officer did not pull him over because of the robbery. But after the shooting, they are saying that there were stolen items around the body. So specifically the Swisher Sweets that he supposedly stole.
Swisher Sweets.
Oh, top of the line cigars, too, eh?
Okay, I don't know what good it does to say that the cop didn't know he was involved in this robbery at this point because the whole thing's a tinderbox. You might want to tamp some of this down. It'll have to go through channels, which it will, but how does that help the situation right now?
In saying that
why did they release the fact, and how did they find out?
Well, they're saying that the police chief might have been trying to mitigate the situation, make it look like this officer didn't just run down a kid a week away from college.
He wasn't a Boy Scout.
That was part of the deal.
But the cop, they're saying now the cop didn't know that he was involved in a robbery.
Right.
So that makes it worse.
There you go. It kind of backfired on them.
Right? Am I right?
I think you are.
But he was involved in this robbery.
Yeah.
Okay, but the cop, okay, let's just put it this way. Thank you, Dave. You got a lot of surface noise there. Have a great weekend. Why would the cop shoot him just for walking down the middle of the street?
There are also reports that there was some sort of altercation in which the kid reached into the police car, and they're saying that the officer had some sort of swelling to the side of his face, which would indicate that there maybe was some sort of tussle, but it still doesn't explain why the shooting... apparently, a gunshot went off inside the car, but then the kid steps away from the car, puts up his hand, and still ends up with a couple more bullets in his body. So it's not looking good for the officer. The kid isn't looking so good anymore, and this is obviously one of those cases where let's let outside investigators figure out exactly what happened here.
All right. 312-521-8600. Matt?
Hello, Gary.
There he is.
There we go. Nine people.
All right, nine. I got six more, and I've got my quota for today.
I'm calling up as a proud member of the WAC Pack to say that I am completely loyal. I listen to no other radio stations. My truck is quiet. I drive for a living, you know, and my truck is quiet all day long until 3 o'clock.
Yeah. Is that so hard? All I'm asking for is a little loyalty in one way. That's all.
Yeah, but how do you feel about immigration?
That's after six. Call back.
Well, that's Joe's topic.
Joe's comment, yeah. No,
boy, that woman in immigration, she's like white on rice as far as that topic. She just wants to talk about immigration.
She's kind of old school, if you will.
You think?
You know? Just a little. I even changed my clock radio, Gary. I agree with the other guy. I guess it was Joe. She said she can't stomach you-know-who when the morning is on the a.m.
Now they're doing scattershot now. They're taking down some other targets.
I won't even dignify mentioning his name.
All I'm asking for is some loyalty on this turf. That's
absolutely. I wake up to another radio station.
All right. Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome.
All right.
I listen to you twice sometimes.
Thank you.
That's wild that you actually listen to it when you go
home.
Well,
because I miss so much of the show.
I do too, but I don't think I can listen to it again because I'll just criticize myself over and over again.
You know what? And that's the weirdest thing. This is the first time I've ever listened to me on the radio, and it's that part I don't like so much. You're pretty good.
It's
you
tough.
Should stick with this.
Thank you.
You can make a career out of it.
Had I known that they wanted me to talk about immigration more on the AM, I would have. I didn't know that was the tipping point.
Well, ever since you had that great idea.
Right, the sticky traps at the border?
No, the other one about if you bring in the...
the 50
Mexicans
gallons of oil.
Yeah.
You get fast-track to citizenship.
Yeah.
Called Kick It Up a Nacho. Yeah. That was my program.
Don't, I still don't know why Lourdes got mad at that.
All right. Yeah, you're digging. Remember that?
Oh, wow. Is that uncomfortable? And that was like...
That's good television, though.
That was fantastic. And it was like one of the first ones you did. That was right at the
Channel
beginning.
9's 5 o'clock, I did those pieces where I would do commentary,
in
and I did one about immigration. And, boy, she... Although, afterwards, she said,
no.
I didn't want it
she
to...
She softened.
Right. She didn't mean to make it look like it was that crazy, but it came off as crazy,
yeah, she,
which is fine.
Yeah. She completely misinterpreted what you were, you know. I don't think she...
She's having some fun.
Yeah. I think at the beginning, she didn't know. I think she thought you were going to be like some serious pundit.
Yeah. Okay.
And then it became clear when you were doing top 10 lists that really wasn't going to be the focus.
No.
Wasn't going to be to change the world.
Why so serious?
Ugh.
Everybody's very serious these days.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Well, here's a serious one. Shoot Great Western Trail protesters. Are those the ones that stand on that overpass?
Yeah. And they're out there today.
Ugh.
What?
And
what
I
is
don't
the,
recommend we
cause?
Shoot them. You know, it's really not clear. I get the feeling they don't like the president, but it seems like they also don't like a lot of things. So. Who
and
knows?
By making traffic screw up, you're not going to get any fans.
Yeah, you're going to make people
whatever
not
your
like
cause
you.
Is. Even if people that are driving agree with you, they're not. If
now
they're stuck
angry.
In traffic.
Exactly.
And not at Friday at, what, 5:30? What time do they usually start, right?
Around 4 o'clock,
yeah.
4:30.
Right at the...
Right around the time when
boy,
they can turn things solid.
So many knuckleheads,
solid.
So little time.
Jeez.
All right, so...
The other thing I'm noticing that people have started doing more is, and it started with that young girl who was killed in Indian Head Park, and a bunch of her friends took Dixie cups and stuffed them into the screens on the overpass, into the into the fencing there, and spelled out like love notes to her.
It's
kind
still
of.
There?
Though I don't know about those so much, but now I've noticed that on a couple of the overpasses, or at least on one of them over the Eisenhower, somebody is trying to stick the Dixie cups in and make some new message just before Harlem.
I see these areas where somebody has taken a bunch of flowers and stuck them in a fence, and I assume that somebody was killed in that moment in that area or whatever.
And I was talking to a girl I went to high school with who was really angry that she's one of those people who does that, and that the local community had the flowers removed. Every time she puts one of those memorials out there, they take them away. And I'm thinking, well, at some point you got to realize they don't want you to have the memorial there. You might want to do it at home or some other place instead.
Why do you think you need to do those at all? It just seems like a cliche at this point. But the teddy bears, the candles, the poster.
But now that's become status quo. That's part of the culture. I don't think that's not a fad.
No, that's not going anywhere.
That's the healing process. That's part of the healing process now.
It's the ghost bikes, too. Become quite the thing. Any bicyclist who's killed, they paint the bike white and put it on a corner. But with that, I mean, a lot of people have suffered losses in their life, but I don't go up to a room in Hinsdale Hospital and put flowers because that's where my dad died. Yeah. Or, you know,
I didn't put bunting over my house when my mom died.
My mom died in our guest room.
Right.
That would be really uncomfortable for guests, I would think.
That's what I mean.
It's like this dump the bucket of ice over you for ALS. I'm not following why you should do that. I know they're looking for donations. That's the gist of it. But
that's what got lost in all of this.
I don't understand the bucket of ice.
So I had this discussion with Dean Richards, and we were told that we were heartless and horrible for poo-pooing the whole thing.
Thank you.
Initially,
you're welcome.
I think the idea was if somebody challenges you, you either put the bucket of ice over your head and make a small donation, or refuse to put the bucket of ice water over your head and make a big donation. So that makes some sense.
But why do you have to do the bucket of ice? Donate.
Well, no, I think what happened, though, was the guy that started it is a former baseball player who's got ALS. And I think what the ice is trying to recreate is he's trying to get you the feeling. There's that second of numbness or shock.
And discomfort, yeah.
That you go through when you have the ice thrown on you. And so he's saying that's what we go through all the time. So it's kind of a sense of, you can get a sense of what we feel. But
now it's just become every team in America.
It's a selfie.
It is the most self-aggrandizing selfie ever.
Yeah, it's just look at how cool people are
registering that when they do it. Yeah. They just want to see themselves on the internet.
Yeah, they're saying and
doing it.
And because at the end they go, oh, and then by the way, I did donate. But at first it's like, look at me.
Well, so we started talking about this on Wednesday. So it hasn't been much time at all, and we raised $1,000. And so me and Dean Richards. And so then he poured a bucket of water over his head today because we met a goal. So there has to be a reason to do this.
On hot coals to experience what somebody else experiences.
Well, you know darn well.
The Dr. Scholl's.
Whatever, people that have
support group.
What's that?
Plantar fasciitis.
Plantar fasciitis. I challenge Police Chief McCarthy to walk on hot coals and send a check.
Or everybody has to step on everybody's toes. You have to just slam on their feet.
Yeah.
And if you don't do that, you have to give $100. Well, I guarantee you, all around the country now, this past week, since this has become a phenomenon, anybody who works at a charity, they have had a brainstorming session.
Right. Well, what can we do?
How do we now jump on this ice bucket? What can we? And don't laugh about the stepping on the foot. There's going to be something else now that if it's not ALS, it's going to be AIDS, or it's going to be cancer or breast cancer or something like that. You know darn well that they're going to come up with something.
Can I just punch you in the side of the head to remind you what it's like to suffer from migraines?
Exactly.
Here's a text. Who gets hurt by posting a memorial? And it's usually a tragic event when a memorial is displayed. Yeah, I understand all that. But they sit around that, and that's some kind of, okay, we're going to make sure if it's a murder, a shooting, whatever, this is the start of that ending. This is going to really be something that starts the reverse of this nonsense. And it doesn't. And it's just like people standing around looking at candles and teddy bears. Yeah, somebody got shot, and it happens so often, it's just a blur.
Well, the whole idea of memorial is the fact that it's something special, that this is not something that you see every day. But if you start to do it every other day or every weekend, it becomes a cliche. It's not right. a special thing now. You know, when Lady Di was killed, they put all those flowers in front of the Kensington thing and Buckingham. Okay, because that was an event that doesn't happen every day. But if you're going to make it a memorial because of a weekly killing here.
No, I mean, people are going to do it. It's just, what's the point?
Yeah, right. On some level, it's that we have embraced the victim. Instead of being stoic and getting through losses and hardships the way I grew up, which was, you know, suck it up, put some rub some dirt on it. Now people embrace that victim thing for a long time.
Sherry, you're on.
Sherry, I'm a very faithful listener. If you're not on, I listen to the Catholic Channel.
Wow. That's quite
Primo Rulli,
talk about a pendulum.
You are straddling there, Sherry.
Well, this is how much I enjoy listening to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Looking forward to hearing more. Thanks, Gary.
God bless you. Because that's what they'll tell her when they call when she calls that Catholic station.
Well, how about some Gary Meyer holy water then?
Yeah, that's my next.
Then it's tchotchke.
Next issue. This ice bucket thing, though, it's everywhere, and now it's. Like you said, Leslie, the fact that we've mocked it. Now, if you mock it, you're evil.
Awful.
Oh, please.
You know, I just saw a picture in the paper today. Theo Epstein getting water bucketed, ice bucket, whatever you want to call it. I mean.
Yeah, every football game, the coach should be donating money because they get the Gatorade dumped on them.
Well, every police force and firehouse and every. So, in the meantime. Just cut a check. It really, and cut a check for research as opposed to awareness, because we're all aware now. Well, now we need a cure.
Well, haven't we known about ALS for about 50 years?
Finally a stunt. Now we're motivated.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
we've got a stunt to wrap around.
It's not like we just invented it. So why haven't you cared about it?
Here's one. Here's a text. Hope they don't get involved with testicular cancer. What can we do to make you feel like a testicular cancer victim? Let's
it
do
involves
that.
A vice and a video camera.
You get one of those big rubber bats. You know, those big giant rubber bats?
A wiffle bat?
Yeah, the big wiffle bat.
Here's a text.
Right,
I clean up roadside memorials for a living. Way to relate to your listeners. That's the funny about go on vacation for 2 weeks. I haven't had a vacation for 7 years. Noel.
Hi. Hi,
yes.
Gary.
Hey.
Yes, since I never call, I thought I better call now.
Why?
No. I agree with the memorials along the highway. I think it looks shoddy. I think if you want to put something up, do it at home, at the cemetery.
Yeah, they're all over the place. It's become a cliche. I'm sorry, but it has.
Yeah. I wouldn't do it. No. Mm-mm.
Yeah, sign the poster board. We miss you.
Right.
Okay, yeah, well.
okay.
All right.
So that's just my comment. I'm short and sweet.
That's fine with me, Noel. Thank you. Have a good weekend. Good. Somebody has to be the counterbalance, right?
That's right.
We're not all going to just be lemmings.
Well, we are just becoming so over
lockstep.
Not even that, but just over the top.
It is a sheeple move. It feels very
if
much
Roker
like a sheeple
does
move.
It, well then, well, I got to do it.
And this internet doesn't help because it just makes people go, oh, well, look at that person got some attention, so I want to do it to look cool. I mean, poor Jerry Lewis sat out there for 60 years, for 24 hours
All he had to
straight.
Do was dump a bucket of cold water over him.
For 2 days.
And he could have raised a lot more money.
Exactly. Oh, man.
I challenge Rahm Emanuel to dump a bucket of ice water.
Well,
he already did the polar plunge.
Yeah, remember that?
With Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon.
And
by the
there's
way,
some
Jimmy
other
Fallon
challenge.
And his whole
now.
Band did it the other night.
Right.
See?
Yeah.
See,
once that all happened.
See, I'm not watching Jimmy Fallon now.
That's it.
Of that.
He just lost a
There you go.
Because
viewer.
That, to
that's
me.
That's the end of that for him.
Because I don't like when everybody joins the club.
Because you're a...
Well, I'm a rebel.
You're a loner.
I am. I'm a rebel.
You're a lobo.
How about waterboarding to recognize drowning victims?
See?
Why are you guys pooping on everything? If it makes people feel good, who cares?
Makes people feel good. They want to feel good about themselves.
It makes me feel good to poop on it.
Yeah. All it does is put a little Band-Aid on a major problem like these shootings. That's all that's doing is a little feel-good. The problem still exists and will go on and on. That doesn't do anything.
Until the next one, yeah. 3 hours later. But, it, you know what? This ice bucket thing doesn't make people feel good. It makes people feel good about themselves.
That's it. Right. Trying, to get on the Internet.
They're trying to be cool.
Right. Yeah.
Look at me. Look how good I am. I'm doing everything right with everybody else. Just write the check.
Yeah. And don't tell anybody.
Yeah. How about that?
Okay, so with that, isn't that the way you were told that charity was supposed to work, that you're not supposed to go trumpeting it, that you just do what's right, take care of the charities, and don't toot your own horn in the process?
Until you lose a child tragically, you can't really comment. I'm talking about these memorials that are set up after these shootings. And in these neighborhoods, there's a policy of we don't snitch. It's been well documented.
Right.
I think you're going to have to be a little more motivated to stop this cancer that's in your neighborhoods by wasting time setting up candles and poster boards. If that makes you feel good, fine, but that's not going to stop anything.
Well, today there was a on the news, this after the morning news or the afternoon, whatever you want to call it, 11 o'clock, somebody got killed somewhere in here in Chicago, and they had the family out there screaming, and the daughter, I guess it was the mother that got killed, the daughter said, if you know something, say something. And I'm sitting there going, okay, you know, now it's hitting your home. This phenomenon of not snitching has been going on
for quite a while.
Well,
but now it's hit your home, and now you're mad, and I'm sitting to myself going, I wonder how many shootings this woman has known about in the past and hasn't said anything. But now that it hits...
If in fact that's the case...
Well, I don't know that, but you just get that sense, like now all of a sudden it's becoming an epidemic, and now people are finally getting fed up with it.
Well, and that's what's playing out in Ferguson, Missouri right now, is that you've had this simmering thing going on. The police are scared. I get the feeling that you're seeing cops on edge more than you've ever seen it before, because, let's face it, every night there's some silliness that goes down, and the cops are the ones who are responding to the scene and still being fired at in the process. So, of course, they're going to hunker down and team up. Meanwhile, you've got this silliness that's going on night after night after night, and nobody cares. Now, when a cop shoots a kid, then now they're all up in arms. But when the kids are shooting each other, yikes.
It seems like the energy is misplaced.
Business as usual.
Next hour, immigration.
Yeah.
Well, good. Joe will call.
Oh, yeah.
Finally, Joe, don't call. I'm not going to talk about immigration.
Oh, man. 2 weeks left this summer.
Weren't you guys complaining about them throwing out Ron Santo's card in the garbage?
We thought it was funny that they threw
it. Funny. Remember,
it was the cake. It wasn't the card that everybody was upset about, because those were found in the dumpster. It was more the cake.
Mention that there also was a Ron Santo get well card or sympathy card that then they found in the garbage.
It says double standard. What does that mean?
Yeah, because we did mention, because you were talking about the cake that time.
I just said you throw it out where nobody can see it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You didn't want anybody to eat a warm cake.
Right. I mean, wake up! What fun is it if everybody goes with the flow? My God, then there's nothing. It's just all one steady vanilla stream.
And you know what? Every so often, you got to have a double standard.
That's right.
If you got to make a point, you
need
a double standard.
Keeps people guessing about you.
Yeah, right.
Got to be a certain percentage that doesn't want to go with the flow. That's why I'm here.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm a non-flow. All right? I'm not flowing. That's what I do.
Okay, Mr.
It
Menopause.
It happens at a certain age.
I don't want to go with the flow.
And if you get all flashy, that's pretty normal, too.
Jeez.
No, and not only that, but you know what? I'm wondering, what's the health risk of getting that kind of shock of ice on your head? Is there some kind of health thing?
Did Dean's heart stop for a second?
He just said his underpants were wet.
Well, I think that came
that
pre.
That was before.
Oh.
I think that was right, just from being in the studio. The sun was coming in.
Somebody just texted, what do you think of the WGN Memorial outside Trip Town? Uh-oh.
Which one is that?
What memorial?
The Walk of Fame, I think.
Is that the memorial?
Oops.
I got to put a candle down for somebody. Leslie, you got are you off the other clock?
Yeah.
Okay.
So have they offered you a slice of sidewalk yet? Have you gotten the call?
What are you talking about?
But the walk
for
of
the
fame.
Walk of Fame. No, not yet.
Yeah, right.
They gave him some whisk to wipe off Spikes.
Yeah, I scrub Spikes with a toothbrush. I'm Spikes' official cleaner. Ken?
Yes, I just want to tell you, Jimmy DeCastro dumped a bucket of ice on his head.
All right.
Rob Feeder just posted it about an hour ago. So.
Okay, is that trending? Is it trending?
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Ken. Wow, then.
Well, then you know what? I take it all back.
Yeah, sure you do.
We think it's a great idea.
I think this is the greatest idea to raise awareness,
God, yes.
And I can't wait to get my ice bucket.
People who do it have hearts this big, and my arms are stretched.
You know what
stretched.
I was thinking of doing on my Facebook page is putting a bucket of ice with a bottle of champagne and saying, this is what my ice bucket is.
You guys sound like the kids not invited to the cool party.
No, yeah. I choose not to be invited.
Yeah, I wouldn't go if they invited me. MLB does pink bats for breast cancer awareness. They need to do blue balls for testicular cancer. Yes. Why don't we get some of these other maladies highlighted by something?
Oh,
oh boy.
Well, Charlie Finley wanted to introduce the orange baseball for the night game.
That's a start. What about male impotence? What can we do for that?
There's your blue balls.
blow up a balloon. Those long balloons.
No, those party favors you blow out,
when the
air goes out, it drops.
Yeah, they curl up, right?
Where
yeah, you've got to need something that goes limp at the end.
Dogs like it, and so does Gary Meyer.
A lot of giggling on that show.
Testing now.
Go.
It's Friday, you bastard.
A man who is known far and wide for his after-dinner talk.
Take that.
It's the 6 o'clock hour.
Gary!
Good evening, Paris and Beecher. Breaking news. A new report says robotic sex partners will become commonplace by 2025.
How Buck Rogers can you get?
Well, that would be a growth industry in 11 years. A sex bot repairman. Okay, here's the list of repairs to your girlfriend. I straightened out her flam shooter, tightened her jaw muscles, buffed her buttocks, and replaced all the fluids. That'll be $300.
Maybe we should stick the radio.
A developing story. Starting today in Los Angeles, a company will deliver alcohol and underwear to your door.
Hello.
The package includes underwear, socks, a t-shirt, sunglasses, and a hangover fighting vitamin. And your choice of alcohol and mixers. Between 4 and 9 p.m., deliveries will be made by underwear models.
Hello, now don't you worry. We'll soon have you cured.
See, if Iraq had this service, ISIS schmices. I'm Gary Meyer. Those stories and more on 240 Minutes. Hold me, I'm trending. Some of you ladies are going to get Blue Angel this weekend.
Yes!
This is the Super Streamliner, the G, the Gear Force, WGN.FM, Chicago.
Sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah.
You don't wear the ribbon? Aren't you against AIDS?
Yeah, I'm against AIDS. I mean, I'm walking, aren't I? Just don't wear the ribbon.
Who do you think you are?
Put the ribbon on.
Hey, Cedric, Bob, this guy won't wear a ribbon.
Who? Who doesn't want to wear the ribbon? So, what's it going to be? Are you going to wear the ribbon?
No, never.
But I'm wearing the ribbon. He's wearing the ribbon. We are all wearing the ribbon. So why aren't you going to wear the ribbon?
This is America. I don't have to wear anything I don't want to wear.
What are we going to do with him?
I guess we're just going to have to ditch him. to wear the ribbon.
All right, that's from 15 years ago or more.
Right.
More, the show's been off for 16.
Right.
That's got to be 20 years ago on Seinfeld, the AIDS ribbon.
Right. He walked in the walk. He went to the AIDS walk, but he
wouldn't
wear the
ribbon.
They got all
Remember those
it.
Ribbons? Don't see those anymore either, and they're still AIDS.
And then they beat him up, too.
How about this text, 312-521-8600. Did Lou Gehrig dump ice on himself or anyone? No, he made a moving speech. Nuff said. People had more class back then.
No kidding.
And it says here, you're not flowing, you're streaming. That's right. Thank you.
Okay. I mean, and it's not about being contrarian either. Like, oh, well, you're just doing this because it's you're trying to be different. No. I
just don't like pouring ice over my head.
Well, for no reason.
What do we do for colon cancer? what is the tribute? What can we do to make people aware of that? Yeah. Think about it.
Whoa.
Right.
We could have a bike ride and then make everybody take their seats off.
Prostate cancer. Give me something for that.
Everybody turn your head to the left.
I challenge Karen Lewis on my prostate cancer awareness stunt.
Everybody just walk around with rubber gloves with one finger sticking up.
Right.
Turn, cough, turn, cough.
Turn and cough.
Do it, Matt Lauer. Do it.
Yeah, hernia awareness. The turn and cough. Wasn't that why you turned and coughed? Was for a hernia, right?
Oh, that was hernia? Oh,
yeah, it was a hernia. Yeah. No, the prostate is a little deeper.
Oh.
Tom Skilling's got some weather for us. Do you have that racked up, Keith? Tom is on with me at 3 o'clock, and then I repeat his weather forecast usually at this time or before 7. I don't always remember. I have received a lot of texts about the replay last night. It did not start at 7 o'clock. Because somebody did not push a button. It didn't start really till about 8:30. I apologize, and hopefully that will not happen again.
And didn't that happen at 8:30 because of you, Leslie?
You called somebody and said, push the frickin' button.
Somebody better push a button.
Hey, wake up.
Hey.
Jeez.
Just happened to open up my iPad. I saw the text that had come in saying, hey, where are you?
Yeah.
Well, so my point is, if you didn't do that, it may never have gone on.
You wouldn't have known until this morning.
It wouldn't have, but it never would have gone on.
No.
No.
So we have new safeties in place. In other words, I'll be tuning in
at
about 7:15.
To make sure that it starts.
At some point, all the kinks will be worked out, I promise you. A little kinky in the first few months here.
Which is good. Kinks are good.
Yeah.
Hey.
All right, here's some weather.
Well, Gary, we had a near-record low this morning, but we're going to warm up a little bit, bring some moisture in, and there could be some showers, maybe even a thunderstorm before the weekend's over, but it won't be an all-weekend rain. And one thing, it's going to be warm tomorrow, but cool with winds off the lake Sunday. So tonight, increasing clouds, temperatures down around 59. Tomorrow, more cloudy than not, a couple of widely scattered showers. They'll be light. Might be a more substantial thunderstorm buried in there in spots later in the day and tomorrow night. High tomorrow goes up to about 76. Tomorrow night down to 65. And then cloudy and cooler, a little sprinkle or drizzle on Sunday. And early showers Monday give way to some sun in the afternoon. Then the rest of next week's just warm and humid with afternoon thunderstorms. And 80s come back from Tuesday forward next week.
I always say timing and good lighting, everything, and listen to this one as far as good timing and bad timing. A man and his daughter were killed when they were struck by a Piper Cherokee making an emergency landing on a beach in Inglewood, Florida. The Cherokee landed just feet from the water's edge as the father and his 9-year-old daughter were walking along the beach. The pilot and his passenger were not injured during the landing. The pilot reportedly issued a Mayday call in which he said he would not be able to make it back to Venice Airport and was going to attempt an emergency landing on the beach. The father and daughter who were killed were vacationing in Florida with the rest of their family of five when the accident occurred. You're walking down the beach and you're hit by a plane.
Oh, man. And at that
starts
moment,
making life seem really kind of precious, doesn't it?
So this guy was on a crash landing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they didn't, but they didn't see him? Or...
Well, maybe they couldn't control the plane any more than they did.
But the people on the ground?
Maybe with the waves and everything, you're not hearing.
Yeah.
And you're sure as heck not expecting a plane to be coming down on your head.
Well, maybe the plane's engine was out completely and there was no sound.
There you go.
Yeah, what's
if
a Piper?
If it just glided in.
Yeah, what kind of?
1972 Piper Cherokee.
That's, well, I've told you the story that when I was in Mexico, my dad went, we went parasailing, and this woman was walking down the beach, and my dad was trying to land, and when they land you on that parasailing thing, they just cut the engine,
right.
And then you come down with the parachute on the beach. But my dad, of course, he wasn't listening to the directions, and so he started pulling on the cords on the parachute.
Uh-oh.
And so the parachute.
So now he's starting to turn.
Oh yeah, he became a missile. And he was going, and he was flying parallel to the beach, and he knocked over a woman who was he hit her from behind. She was a little old woman was walking. He buried her in the beach.
There's a viral video out right now of a beach scene where the woman has pulled a Sea-Doo up to the beach, and another couple not paying attention come whipping around and actually launch off of this parked Sea-Doo and go airborne, and then it looks like the woman who's sitting on the back of the Sea-Doo like bites. I think she probably broke her leg at best as they went going airborne, flew over this thing, and then just crash landed in shallow water. Fun, isn't it fun? Let's go to the beach.
At the beach, a day at the beach. Martha.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. You were talking about prostate cancer awareness and what you could do, and I don't know if you're aware, but Samuel L. Jackson has a campaign, a PSA thing about don't fear the glove, and there's a one finger up hand logo.
I was just making that up.
Okay, well.
No, it's real. Google it.
Oh,
find it.
God.
I saw him talking about it on the Graham Norton show.
All right, we have to challenge some people to wear the glove with one finger.
Don't fear that glove.
Don't fear it.
Don't fear the glove.
The PSA is hilarious.
Oh. Public service announcement.
And then they videotape people as they were actually getting exams, so all you see is a close-up of several men's faces as they're being examined.
Oh.
It is not pleasant. I don't know what their expressions were, but.
Moon River.
A lot of wide-eyed surprise.
Yeah. So there is already a campaign on that one. All right. I'm going to find a disease to get some kind of stunt going.
Wow.
Excellent.
Thank you.
I was trying to be stupid. And that was.
Trying.
And it's legit. No, my point is, I mean, I was trying to make a joke, and that's legit. Walking around with a glove with your finger up.
Okay, got to find something else. Speaking of that, how was the Miley Cyrus concert last night?
I didn't hear anything about it, so I guess it went off without a hitch. And
maybe the review is. I could look online. There might be a review online.
No, I just thought of the glove that she had with what's
her
his
big
name?
When her
the foam glove, yeah,
twerking. Actually, it was a grinding moment with Robin Thicke.
Here's another timing situation. A Kalamazoo woman would have choked to death had a police officer not been behind her when she ran a red light. The woman was eating a hot dog, and then she started to choke. The officer pulled her over to find her losing her breath. He gave her the Heimlich.
Blew through a stop sign.
So if he wasn't right behind her and she didn't blow through that stop sign.
And that's the thing, when you watch the video of it, I'm thinking, okay, so she's been choking for a minute because, you know, obviously she was in distress when she blew through the stop sign. And it seems like it takes a while for the officer to get to the driver's side door. But when he does, it takes no time at all for him to. He first starts trying to slap her on the back, and that's not doing any good. And then he just handles her like a puppet. And you see, why? What was it? It was like a piece of a sausage sandwich?
Hot dog, it says.
Or a hot dog? Okay. Come flying
That's
out.
Why I don't eat and drive. First of all, I don't like to get the crumbs all over the place.
I had this discussion with my friend who is a woman my age who lives alone, and she had an allergic reaction not so long ago where luckily a friend was over when her throat was closing up and she realized she was having trouble breathing. They took her to the hospital. But the whole idea of being alone and
so her throat's closing, and they took her to the hospital. It didn't obviously close altogether.
Right.
But
she's thinking about how lucky she was that she just happened to have a friend over at that point. So she's become, like, super aware and careful, and including things like, what do you eat? Do you have a big, tasty steak when there's no one around to Heimlich you?
I cut it into very small pieces.
All right, you seem like you'd be a polite eater.
A polite eater?
A polite eater.
What
like,
that
you
mean?
Wouldn't just chow down and take big giant chunks and chew with your mouth open.
I have done that.
Have you?
What about steak, though?
Watch your mouth. I got a woman that listens to me and the Catholic radio station, have a little decorum. 312-521-8600.
Do you know the Heimlich maneuver?
I
don't know if I mean, I feel bad to say this, but if someone was choking in front of me, I don't know if I could save them.
It's just a couple of fingers below the sternum, make a fist, and then just start popping.
Make a fist.
You're supposed to be able to do it to yourself over the back of a chair.
What about the Heimlich?
What about the Heimlich? Hey, watch your mouth.
What?
You got people listening to the Catholic channel and you.
What did I say?
What?
No, what do you mean to make a fist with the other hand?
Why don't we find their sternum?
Choke on something and see if we can save you. It's good for ratings.
It's good for ratings.
The bottom of the
sternum. Especially if it doesn't work.
Sternum there, where you hit the soft
that
area.
That bone.
Make a fist right up against then using your other hand, push.
Push up.
Push up. In and up.
Underneath that sternum?
Okay.
You can do this off the air.
Let's get him a hot dog. Make him choke on it.
Well, I just feel bad the first thing I would do is hit somebody on the back, which is wrong, right?
Right. Correct.
Yeah.
You shouldn't.
So what if I just came up behind you?
You are the same guys who, when we had an Amber Alert, said, I don't think I want to pay much attention.
I said I don't think I'd really notice the car.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't be paying that much attention.
Look what happened. Somebody found Deja Vudi. What was his name yesterday?
Dejavante.
Yeah, they found him. See? Didn't need
him. Here's the text. What's a C-do?
What's a
Is this the beginning of a joke? Is it?
Isn't that a jet ski?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's the kind where you can put two people on it instead of isn't a jet ski what you stand up on?
Oh, you can sit on those too.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know what you were talking about either.
I thought it was ski-do. I don't know.
I thought it was ski ball. Yeah, when you said ski-do, I was like, okay, I don't know what you're
talking about. Don't planes have horns?
Right.
I don't know. I've never been in a small plane. Get out of the way. I don't think they do.
I find that I wonder if they had headphones on or something. Maybe they were walking on the beach with headphones and they didn't hear. Because how could you not hear a plane?
Again, if the engine's out.
Wouldn't it be going
in the movies? But I don't think that the engine was on. And if there are waves crashing, that's pretty loud.
Yeah. But wouldn't people around them be saying,
maybe
hey,
there was nobody around.
Well, it doesn't matter because they died.
One way or the other, it didn't work out for them.
Yeah, obviously.
And by the way, Sea-Doos are personal watercrafts. S-E-A-D-O-O.
Oh, there's two O's? That's how it's spelled?
Nah. Are you looking for a Sea-Doo, are you?
No, I don't know. I don't like water crafts.
I like
a boat. I love going out on boats. I wish I knew someone who had a boat.
Yeah, that's the best thing to have.
God, I would love to.
Somebody that owns one, and then you just chip in for gas.
Oh, I'd love to. Every weekend?
Especially in this climate.
Oh.
The window is so small.
I would love that. Yeah, I mean, to go and buy, what's the rule? The best day to own a boat is
the day you get it and the day you sell it?
Yeah, I mean.
A hole in the water where all your money goes?
That's the definition of a boat.
But, man, I love going out on boats. But yeah. I don't know. But I never do. I just went on a cruise. It was so great. I wake up every morning. I go in a little balcony. The water.
Look up people's skirts. And
it was so nice. I love it. But I don't know anybody who has a boat.
And you will not, I predict.
Yeah, well, how come? Like, how come some people have friends who have boats and
come
some
on,
don't?
Bevel, examine. Self-examine. So I put my fist underneath my sternum. He's in the back of the boat doing this nonsense. So my father, he's parasailing. I mean, after about 20 minutes, who invited this guy?
Well, you know, it's funny. The sad part is I forgot to tell you the ticker of the story. So my dad hit her as she was walking down. She was walking. He came from behind her and hit her and put her face down into the sand. And he was hit. I mean, he was coming at a good clip because he was, I mean, zipping around with this. With you know the. With
what did
parachute.
She get in the lawsuit?
So wait. So now she gets up. Her poor little hat was all destroyed. I mean, she got really slammed. And all of us were watching this. We were on the floor laughing. It was so funny.
That's nice.
So she gets up and she walks down the beach. Now it's about an hour later because there's about seven
so
or eight.
So they didn't have any exchange?
Nothing.
She just said.
She just got up.
And did he say, I'm sorry?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he brushed her off, but she said, I'm fine. Okay. And, you know, the guys that were running this outfit were a couple of, you know, screwballs on the beach. They didn't even
That's the name of the place.
They didn't even
screwballs on the beach.
They didn't even
come down to parasail as screwballs on the beach.
They didn't even like speak English because we were in Mexico. So, okay. So she keeps walking on the beach now.
Joe's on. What about Mexico? You don't like? Okay, go ahead. Thank you, Joe.
An hour later, because it took a while for everybody to go, because they drove us to a little side of a private side of the beach to do this, because you have to run up the beach when the boat starts. You've done that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So, all right. So, this guy, so now it's the guy's turn, right? He straps in to the thing, and the boat starts, and you're supposed to run, and as you run, the parachute
should inflate. Right.
Well, he doesn't run. He stands there. So, the boat starts going. He gets pulled in the water, like
face planted.
Face down.
Or I've seen video of somebody standing, and they haul ass, and the person is basically whiplashed because they're static, and the boat pulls them.
Right. So this guy, so he gets pulled. So now they stop the boat, and he gets up, and they're trying to explain to him, you have to run. You have to run. Okay? He stands there. He does it again. Right? So now he's being pushed.
Maybe he just liked the feel.
But wait. As he's being pulled across the beach, guess who's walking down the beach the other way, coming back? The same old lady. He hits her like a bowling pin.
This is a different guy, not your father.
It's different guy, same lady.
Timing is everything. So at this point, does she at least go home?
Best part.
Last day on the beach ever.
No lie. That night, 6.8 earthquake. She's there. She had to be there. So she got hit twice on the beach.
And
then that night we had an earthquake.
Had your parents left? You all left before the earthquake?
No, we were in the earthquake.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Mrs. in Acapulco. Oh, yeah. 6.8.
How bad were you affected?
It was very. I mean, our sink cracked in the hotel room and the wall cracked. We were like on the 11th or 12th floor. And I think I told the story one time before. So we're sitting there. We're getting ready to go out to dinner. And we're with an extended family on this trip, too.
Laughing about this woman that was
hit
twice.
We did. That was
the lady in traction.
That was the cool story before the earthquake story because it happened earlier. And so we had, on the 11th floor, we had the windows open. There's a little, balcony kind of thing. And, there's all these mountains. And so my dad is on the bed. Sitting on the bed, like laying on the bed. My mom's in like a little chair, like one of those little side chairs. And I'm walking out of the bathroom. And as I'm walking out of the bathroom toward the...
And his towel drops.
toward the window, I see like all the lights going out on the mountains. And I'm like...
You're thinking that Mexican electricity. It just doesn't have
twinkling
the same...
Yeah. No.
So pop is the United States.
So it doesn't really, I don't know what the hell, so I just think it's weird, but we're in Mexico, maybe they turn all the lights on.
That's Mexico.
Yeah, I don't know.
And they literally roll up their sidewalk.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing.
All of a sudden, the lights in our hotel go out, this place starts, the room starts, it's shaking, and as if you had a wall of speakers that were huge speakers, like at a concert, that were cranked to 100. The rumble sound, that's what's scary, more than even the shaking, was the rumbling sound. And so we start, the place is rumbling and shaking, and my dad...
That's just your intestinal tract.
Yeah, so my dad falls off the bed. I fall on the bed because I'm walking this way. He falls off. My mom falls off the chair. Like, the chair just falls forward.
This was like a... a Family Guy episode. I thought they were all going to fall on each other.
No.
They're going to be like a
Toronto pancake.
Exactly. Like a Toronto club sandwich.
So I'm on the bed now, like on my stomach, and I'm holding onto the bed, and we are shaking. And my dad had been in World War II in Japan after the war. He was there during the occupation, so he didn't really see any fighting, but he was there. And they had earthquakes. So my dad goes, "Don't panic. Earthquake!"
Good.
So I'm like, earthquake!
Earthquake!
And it only lasted, I would say, maybe, if it was 40, 50 seconds, that's long. But it felt like forever. And so
was
when
dinner
well,
canceled?
Because your mom was on top of you.
What about dinner? Here's Bibble. What about dinner?
So here's the best part. So now we're going out with the extended family, right? So my dad, we get done. We see this, you know, the sink is cracked. The walls are cracked. And so now we're supposed to go out to dinner.
Yeah.
So here we're getting dressed. My dad goes, "Are you going to wear those shoes?" I'm like, "Who cares what shoes I'm wearing? I want to get out of this building." And we get down there and we get into the lobby. And my dad, we got all dressed up for dinner.
And he still
took the elevator.
Well,
yeah, he thinks we're going to dinner. And we go in the lobby and it's like a movie. Everybody's running and screaming, and my dad.
And then your dad ran into that woman in the lobby one more time.
And my dad goes to my uncle, "So we're not going?
What about dinner?"
And throughout the whole hotel, you saw major cracks. 6.8.
Now that's a big earthquake.
That's a nice earthquake. Apparently, there was one of the people in our party was walking down the street, and there was a restaurant that had huge windows, like just all from floor to, you know, 20
ceiling.
Feet, and it was, they just shattered while they were walking past them. The windows of the, just
wonder
shattered.
What happened to that woman.
Oh,
that
poor,
hit twice.
She had to be like,
something fell
am,
on her.
I am getting out of town.
This is it. A Ski-Doo is a snowmobile.
Oh.
All right, so I got my seasons mixed up on those crafts.
It's not a jet ski, then.
All right.
It's a Sea-Doo. Like I said, I want to say the jet ski is what you stand up on.
So he said a Ski-Doo. Maybe that's a different
a
one.
Ski-Doo
a
Ski-Doo for
is
on
snowmobile.
Snow.
Oh.
Sea-Doos are personal watercrafts.
Right. I'm not riding any of them.
I don't think you should. You seem like you don't have very good luck at the beach.
Yesterday I was talking about the Ice Girls for the Blackhawks games. There was some conversation about the girls maybe having too few pieces of clothes on. And that was born out of the shoot the puck conversation.
They're scantily clad.
And I mentioned that somebody texted me and said they should get the Matadors if that's what they're worried about. I didn't know from the Bulls games. I don't know what they were. I thought that they were these rather large female cheerleaders. But apparently the Matadors are big fat guys that perform in bathrobes, mustaches, and caps.
I've heard about them. Yeah, they do like a cheerleading thing, only they're like
big fat middle-aged guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they still have the lovables too, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So you just have to have a little counterbalance for everybody else.
Does Benny the Bull or, oh no, who's the Hawk?
Tommy Hawk.
Does he have pants on?
He has shorts.
He has hockey shorts on.
Then maybe they should shorten his shorts, in all fairness.
That's right.
Or take his pants off, like
something.
Addison the Bear.
Is it Addison?
No, it's Clark.
Clark.
Addison. Clark.
Sorry.
Addison is his sister.
All right, 312-521-8600, text and phone number. All shows are available on podcast shortly after they air, and if everything goes right, the entire show should start again
at 8:30.
In its entirety at 7. Like this text said earlier, what time will the 7 p.m. rebroadcast start today?
No later than 7:15.
Well,
whenever Leslie turns
on
the computer.
I'm thinking around 7:10 is when I should probably check.
She was listening at 8:30 and realized that it hadn't started yet, so she called somebody, and they woke up and hit a button.
Whoopsie.
Man has started a petition to have Weird Al Yankovic perform at the Super Bowl halftime show.
Oh, God. Here we go. Wait, I could see this. Think about how super talented he and his band are. Because they've done cover versions of every great song ever made.
He had a number one album.
The largest selling comedy album in 50 years.
50 years?
50 years. The last one, who did they say it finally topped?
What, like Steve Martin, maybe?
No, I'm to 50. Steve Martin, that's only 30.
That'd be like Alan Sherman or somebody like that.
Something like that.
Hello,
or Bill, I bet you Bill Cosby, maybe?
Or Bob Newhart.
Okay.
Yeah, probably the button-down mic.
But it's been 50 years. So the guy has been around for a long time and has hit this new stride again. He released this album, Mandatory Fun, and he put out a video for every song on the album right away.
Right.
Over 8 days, he put out 8 videos. And but what I'm saying, too, and he covered, like, Iggy Azalea, who is a young...
Who dat, who dat, who dat, who dat, who dat, who dat.
You know Iggy Azalea.
Well, he's got the teenage daughter.
Got to know this stuff. She's got a big booty, and she's from Australia.
Who
and
is that?
And she's fancy. Iggy. Iggy Azalea.
Oh, Iggy, yeah. Right, yeah.
So it's a white woman doing rap.
Right.
Right?
Australian white woman doing
rap.
Yeah.
Who dat, who dat, who dat.
That's right.
Is that the name of the song, or is that just the chorus?
What did I just say? Fancy is the name of her song. And he covered it
and called it what?
Tacky.
No, it's called Handy.
Handy?
Or Handy?
Fancy.
Fancy.
Fancy
by Iggy Azalea.
Who's Handy? Here. Handy is the Weird Al cover?
Oh, he did. Okay.
Yeah, that's Weird Al's parody of Fancy.
Oh, and then Tacky is the takeoff on Happy by Pharrell Williams.
Write it all down and then hand it to me later, please.
You know, Weird Al was not really that cool in the 80s.
Well, it's not that he's that cool necessarily.
Yeah, but now everybody's talking
Look
about
Look at who
him.
We've had as Super Bowl performers. There's not a whole lot of cool that's happened
there's
recently.
There's a big story about him in Rolling Stone now. It's like, you know, he wasn't that cool when he was popular.
He wasn't cool. He was just popular. Is that what you're saying?
Well, did you have an Al Yankovic album?
I didn't, but I know this guy has been cranking it out for 30 years, and he's still, number one comedy album.
It was number one album.
30 years after he started this. Like I'm giving lessons in physics. Right. Here's Iggy.
This is Iggy Azalea.
Who dat?
Cup of goose, cup of crisp. I heal something worth a half a ticket on my wrist. On my wrist. Taking all the liquor straight. Never chase that. Never stop like we bring an 88 back. What? Bring the hooks in where the bass at. Champagne spilling, you should taste that. I'm so fancy.
And she's Australian?
From LA to Tokyo.
Listen to you. I just lost a lot of respect for you.
Oh, shut up. Summer.
And Bibble is the arbiter of coolness.
What is cool?
I mean, he knows.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
He's the guy. He's the dude.
I don't go. The dude abides. I don't go with trends. I don't go with fads. I'm a lone wolf.
Yeah, you blaze your own trail,
That's
don't
right.
you? Okay, let's hear the parody. Can you find Weird
called?
Al?
Hanky? What did he say?
Hanky.
No, Handy.
Handy.
No, Tacky.
Tacky is the takeoff on Happy.
All right.
Go ahead. Tacky's actually a really good song on that album.
Play Tacky first, and then we'll do the other one.
Right. That was the first one that popped up when you put Weird Al.
Yeah. It was the first video he posted, too.
I think Al plays.
It's no eat it.
I think Al plays better if you can see the video,
because
that's the payoff.
Yeah.
All right, you got a little.
Handy.
Grungy. What's the other one?
Handy.
Handy.
Grungy.
That's the one. That's the takeoff on Iggy Azalea.
I'm sure this one's going to be hilarious, too.
Oh, come on.
He's not taking any prisoners this week.
I guess.
If he isn't pleased, you're out.
I'm not. I was never a
fan. For that, he's out.
There is nothing in the world I can't fix. Yeah. I do tiles, I do stone, I do bricks. Call me, I'll come rushing over with my bag of tricks.
Bag of tricks.
Where you going, your disposal is rusted.
Rusted.
My problem making you disgusted.
Yeah.
When your front window is busted. Just one name that's always trusted.
I'm so handy. You already know. I'll fix your
Here's what life is all about. Find a niche and fill it. That's what you do.
Yeah.
And he's found a niche.
Yeah.
I took my daughter to an album signing that he did.
Oh, see, this is what, see, now
where?
It comes out.
He was so delightful with everybody and the crowd that
recently?
Came to see him. Well, this was, 15 years ago?
Oh, I thought you meant for his new album.
No.
Where
no.
was
this
he was signing?
At a record store in Yorktown Mall.
And was there a huge crowd?
Huge crowd. And the crowd was everything from 3-year-olds to 50-year-olds.
Was this during the Eat It?
This was post-Eat It. This was Amish Paradise time.
Wow. You and Al go way back.
His finest work, yeah. If I can say so.
You know,
myself.
It's not as critically acclaimed, but for me, it's
he
really
was evolving.
It's the same thing with Svengoolie. Nice guy, Rich Coe's very nice guy.
Mr. Ghouli to you.
He's been cranking that show out there, and I know it's there. I know he's been on a long time, and my friend Harvey, who works over there, said, go to one of his appearances. It's like the Beatles. This guy, for the people that like him, he's the biggest thing.
And it's generational, too. So it's dads introducing their sons and moms introducing their daughters.
Well, remember, he came to the remote. At the Odeon, that Halloween remote.
Yes.
Remember, people were
And then
all
he
over.
Had a heart attack 2 days later.
2 days later. Oops.
What'd you do to him?
But
what did you guys say?
But there were a lot of people coming up for him with getting his picture and everything. No, I mean,
yeah.
You know.
And he is...
He's Mr. Good.
That group, that's huge to them.
I know that Weird Al had big hits. Once again, it was video-driven. If you remember, Eat It was a takeoff on Beat It, and they did the whole Michael Jackson thing. And then I'm Fat was I'm Bad, where he was all... You know,
but when you listen to it, technically he's got chops beside, because he is doing everything from Iggy Azalea to Michael Jackson to Pharrell Williams.
Obviously, Bibble's not on the Weird Al bandwagon.
He says things about you.
I think when Weird Al pours the bucket of ice over his head, then he's lost me. I'll be a fan until then.
Well, see, what I'm not liking, though, is I read a lot of these, you know, Entertainment Weeklies, Rolling Stone kind of magazines.
Because you're cool.
And what I'm getting now is that there were people who were not in the 80s. We were. And they are highlighting stuff that they think was cool in the 80s, but really wasn't that cool. And so I'm seeing these 80s these people from the 80s being elevated, and I'm like, wait a minute, they weren't this popular or this cool.
I think
their
there
first
might
time
be
around.
A lack of anything else right now, and some of the stuff is refloating.
Maybe. But it's just, to me, there seems like there's people that are remembering the 80s who weren't even there, or who have gotten into the 80s and saying, well, Weird Al had to have been. Look how cool he is. It's
but
like, well,
we're
he
not
wasn't
talking
there.
About. We're talking about 2014, and the guy has got a number one album.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. For a week.
Join the Weird Al bandwagon. Get on it.
Get on tacky. Get on fancy.
Well, who else would you have? Can you think of anybody off the top of your head that would be the kind of a performer that could fill an arena like that? We don't have that many of those sort of acts out
not
there.
Not newer ones.
No,
the old.
I mean, like Mumford and Son is not going to be out there at.
That's why your Paul McCartney's and
Springsteen's, Elton's.
Those people from 40, 50 years ago are still filling the big arenas. They're the only ones that can. And if Weird Al, I don't know if he can. Can he do a 40,000 seater?
I pray to God, no.
Yeah, pray to God. Oh, for God's sake.
If there's any
say
humanity.
No. Say no.
I mean, hey, I admit it. I did like My Bologna, which was his first song.
You're just
song.
Angry. God, he's so angry,
in.
Gary.
Right,
why is he so angry?
I always have a nice container of anger when I come in, just to get myself going. But this guy,
you know what? I think a bucket of ice water might cool him off.
You know why? Because I just read, because I just today I read this story about Weird Al in Rolling Stone, and they were just gushing.
And you're jealous.
And I'm sitting there going, you know, this guy was not that popular. Why are we making him like he was some 80s
letter
icon?
To editor? I want to see it in the next issue.
He wasn't before, but he is now.
But he is now because everybody's acting like he was then. And he wasn't that big of a deal. He was kind of a joke.
Aaron just handed me this. And this is something that's happening all the time now. 16 things we learned after a day at Weird Al Yankovic's house. They're doing this with everything now. Have you seen this stream of 10
gotta
things?
Gotta have the list, yeah.
Right. 10 things we know about this guy that
right.
is accused of killing the woman in Indonesia.
Right. Right.
Just got that today.
So
everybody's got, we just learned these 15 things.
And what are the Weird Al ones?
What revelations did they come up with?
The massive Weird Al Yankovic cult knew it was only a matter of time until the rest of the world joined their ranks.
See, cult. Thank you.
Number one, he's never taken illegal drugs.
Oh.
Two, heavy D used to live in his house. It's also possible a porno was filmed there once. Okay.
It was a parody porno, though.
Yeah.
It was his 11-year-old.
Number four, his 11-year-old daughter Nina is incredibly cute and precocious.
Oh, that's a good. That's huh. good for, that's normal.
Number five, some nights the entire Yankovic family camps out in a blue tent on their deck, which has a stunning view of Los Angeles.
Oh, hey, I'm sure the guy's got a ton of money,
a fortune. Six, he was introduced to his wife, Suzanne, by their mutual friend, Billy Mummy.
Oh, that's the kid.
Who played Will Robinson on Lost in Space. Yeah. Seven, they had multiple phone dates before they even met face-to-face.
Wow.
Eight, a large downstairs closet houses what deserves to be a Weird Al museum. Nine, he's a stunningly methodical songwriter.
Oh, yeah.
Ten, there's amazing nerd artifacts all over his house. 11, he's a voracious reader.
Who thought? Who knew?
You sound like you could be a good friend of
yeah.
Weird Al. There are a lot of these things that are similar.
Kind of, we both have a museum of our own in our closet.
Number 15, don't expect a tour this year.
Unless begged.
He won't be able to fill the 40-seat arena then.
He hopes to make another movie one day. He made that movie UHF 2.
Yeah, that was a huge hit. Big Al.
All right, Bibble. Coming to the winning team.
But I mean, come on. Let's be honest,
no
Gary. You were there in the middle of the 80s. That was your
Why do you keep bringing up the 80s?
Because that's when he was huge.
He stayed huge. Look, he filled places in the 90s and now he's doing it again in 2014.
You're right. There's Pete Townsend, there's Mick Jagger, and there's Weird Al Yankovic. You're right. That's the sequence.
Glad you understand.
Jeez.
Wanted to wish Zach a happy birthday down in Carbondale.
Who's Zach?
Yeah.
Who is Zach?
He's 26 today, man. I want to nurture the younger listeners.
Ah. Wow. That's
from his brother Jackson texted me about 4 hours ago. I just got around to
Jackson and Zach.
Jackson and Zach.
It's cheaper
celebrate.
Than a card. Call Gary Meyer. Ask him.
I appreciate 20-somethings listening.
Right.
Because that's how Weird Al stayed popular. Right?
That's how he got that number one album.
Thank you.
Hey, you got that ad in the paper today. It's pretty cool.
I got an ad in the paper.
You did?
Yeah.
See, nobody reads the Tribune anymore.
Well, because that's old media.
I know, but
that's
there
why
it was.
They split off.
And it was on page two, so you didn't have to go that deep in the paper.
Yeah,
I'll be honest, I didn't even know until Bibble came in and said, hey, you got an ad in the paper.
Oh, I think I gave it to you, so I can't show it to you.
Well, I'll go check, because I can get them free here still.
Page two.
That well, congratulations.
Nice.
That's very nice.
The future is now.
That's nice, but then I see they gave Brandmeier a TV commercial.
Ugh.
Yeah,
and a billboard.
And he does?
No. Oh, you see that face? Whoa,
come on.
See that face?
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Those eyes got very large.
You know, there's only a few words that really get your attention, and billboard
you
is definitely one of them.
You can't just expect everybody to know. You have to tell people.
Wow, that was. I wish I had a camera for that.
So you're going to be jumping with some paratroopers over the weekend to get noticed or anything?
No. Yeah. Radio guys going out and trying to get some kind of attention. No.
Up in the back of a jet with a Blue Angel.
I'm going to Tebow this weekend. That's cool. Isn't T-bowing cool, or is it ice bucketing? What's the cool thing now? Planking? What
planking,
do we do?
Planking, T-bowing. Owling. Yeah. No, it's the fire challenge. Try that one.
What's that one?
You pour some sort of flammable liquid over yourself. You set yourself on fire while your friends videotape you, and then you jump into a shower pool before you get third-degree
burns.
And
there are videos out there with that now.
Of course. Got to get on the internet. That's the cool place.
This is for pain awareness.
This is right, to honor burn victims and to donate to their cause.
Oh, man. Although, I mean, you can't at least... The ALS, they've got, how much have they raised?
They said that their donations have gone up astronomically. So some people are still getting it.
Which is kind of sad when you have to do a stunt to get attention for a charity, a disease, or whatever.
Because I tell you, on the Jerry Lewis Telethon, they've had a guy come on in the last 5 or 10 years, this guy Augie, and he has ALS. And over the last 5 or 6 or 7 years, they've hit him out every year, and you've seen his decrease. In his capabilities, where this guy used to own a place that made workout equipment, and now he can't even move his face. And so if that doesn't get you to get money, I don't know why that doesn't, and yet an ice bucket does.
That's enough. Let's put a fork in this thing. Thank you for listening. Back on Monday at 3, the entire show will repeat itself, I promise. Somebody will push a button.
I'm going to go check now.
As long as Leslie's around.
At 7-ish here. And then the whole thing's podcasted. You can get that anytime. Have a great weekend. See you in church, temple, or mosque you pick on Sunday or Friday or Saturday. Good night.